This is that other sports shit. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everybody around the planet. I was going to try and do like an NSYNC thing right there and do like an or a Backstreet Boys thing and do like everybody, Backstreet back, all right.
But everybody.
Yeah, I fucked that up. I already fucked that up. And we're just going to roll with it. Like, we're not going to start over.
We're not going to roll with this. No, we're going
it
with
is, it. It is what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. It's that of the sports show. It's season 10. It's episode 20-something. I believe we're in the 20s.
I think we're
28. We're deep 20. We're closer to 30 than we are 20. I'm feeling good. It's mid-afternoon on a Thursday. I've got the great Jesse Thomas with us. Shout out to all of our loyal listeners. Shout out to everybody we love. You know who you are. You're Che Rollins, you're Smash Squad MMA, you're Justin Von Doom, who we are actively working on getting on the show soon. You're Chris W. Powers, you're our boys from Fat Boy Fadeaway Sports. You're a variety sports listener that happens to fall on this show. We appreciate you. Thank you for supporting us. Jesse Thomas, say hello.
We also support all the hashtag swollen out of control folks out there that are putting in that work. 30-pound dumbbells, 15-pound dumbbells, 60-pound dumbbells, whatever you're all doing, keep doing it because we totally represent the action-packed folks. And I don't mean like going out there jumping over buildings and shit like that. Just get out, get busy, put a little work in. We love y'all. Thank you. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Jess, did you go to the gym today?
Hell yeah, I went to the gym, baby.
What'd you hit?
Chest day. Chest day. And chest day topped off with a little tricep action.
A little pull, a little push. That's no, right, no man. Push. All pull.
All pull, baby.
Wait. All pull. No, wait. I did that wrong. All push. I'm 0 for 2 already starting the show, so we're clearly going the right way here. Push for chest, pull for back. But I guess thighs is pull, but you did tries. Okay, Jess, I was kicking the can around with a few buddies this weekend, or maybe it was a weekend before, and an interesting question came up, and I consider you a sports junkie. I think you consider me a sports junkie. That's why we try and cover all sports on this show. But a question came across, and I thought it was a relatively novice question, but I got stumped at around 10 or 12.
Ooh.
And I am going to present this question to you, Jess. I'm going to give you some time to think about it because I think initially you'll fire some answers at me. And then I think at some point you're going to slow down. And then I want you to kind of take a deep breath and really think. This is a geography. There's some geography involved in this question.
Okay.
Jess, you were not prepped for this question. This is like when you go to a magic show for our listeners.
This is on the spot, guys.
And the magician shows you, look, there's been no gimmicks here. That's how we roll. Jess, how many NHL teams can you name right now? I'm going to set the over-under at 10.5, and I'm taking the under.
Thank you.
I have the list up.
Oh, wow.
Of all NHL teams.
I am not Googling anything right now either.
Hand
on the Bible. On the Bible. Right hand. Left hand on the Bible.
Start
right
firing
hand
them
air,
out.
Baby.
Start firing them out.
Fire them out. All right. So we'll start with the Buffalo Sabres.
One.
The Detroit Red Wings.
Two.
The I don't know who they are, but the Coyotes. I know there's a Coyote
Three.
Somewhere.
Phoenix.
Phoenix Coyotes. There is a Colorado team. But... I don't know who they are. The Penguins?
Five.
The Avalanche. Colorado Avalanche. That's who they are. The Colorado Avalanche.
Yep, so we're at five.
Okay. The Seattle Kraken.
Ooh, six. I didn't get that one, by the way.
Yeah, I had to pull that one out of there. The Ottawa Senators.
That's good. Seven.
Let's see. I know there's some other some Canadian teams out there. Jeez.
See, now this Calgary, is geographical. There's eight.
The Calgary Stampede or something like that. I don't know.
That's it.
Okay. I'm reaching. There's got to be some other.
You're at eight right now.
Man, I need 2.5 teams.
The Calgary Flames, by the way.
Are they the Flames? Okay, the Flames, yeah. Calgary Flames. Who's the Stampede? Oh, that's their Canadian football team.
Yeah.
The Stampede. Oh, okay.
That was good.
Shout out to both squads. Love to think about
start to think. This is where I said you gotta take the deep
breath. Florida. Florida has a team too. Florida has are they the Panthers?
Yes, they are. Panthers? That's nine.
All right. New York Rangers. Boston Bruins.
That's 11.
Oh, nice. See? I hit my over. I like
don't
that.
Give up. Don't give up.
Let's see here. Who else can I hit here?
You hit one New York team. Is there another New York team?
Is there the Jets, Winnipeg, right? Winnipeg Jets. Is there a Winnipeg team still?
I think there is. Hold on. Is it the Winnipeg Jets? I think you nailed that one. Hold on. While you're thinking, I'm looking. Did you nail that one?
I don't know.
Winnipeg Jets. God, 12.
Hot damn. Shout out to Canada. I love you guys, man. Canadians are
loyal listeners. They've always been day ones.
There is another New York team.
There is.
Who the New York Rangers and the New York Islanders?
Yeah, God,
Islanders.
You nailed it.
Yes, I'm gonna stop right there because I cannot really.
You feel like you're walking away with a home run swing, like you did a mic drop on.
I'm doing it. Yeah, I am. I'm like
you
drop. Had.
Can I just indulge you with this?
Yes, please.
Can you think of any West Coast teams? Because you missed. You missed some West Coast teams that I think are pretty easy, but that's where I see.
So I got the Kings. No, I did. I didn't.
No, you
get
did
the
not.
Kings.
No, you did the not. LA Kings. That's 14.
Let's see who else is out here in the West Coast. Jeez, West Coast hockey. That doesn't even go together.
I know. That's what makes it so unique.
Let's see. Okay, so I don't believe that California has multiple hockey teams. I think it's just the Kings. Correct.
Nah, dude, you're missing two of them.
They have two hockey teams?
That you're missing.
Goodness gracious.
Deep breath. Here's the hint. Gosh. Here's the hint. Wow. And now we're now.
Give we're okay, give me hints. Give me hints.
They made a movie about one of these teams.
They made a movie? I don't watch hockey movies.
What if I told you the Ducks?
Oh, the Anaheim Ducks. They are I believe it's Anaheim now, right?
Yeah,
Anaheim
you nailed
Ducks.
It.
Anaheim
you nailed
Ducks.
It.
Okay. The mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
Other California team, San Jose Sharks.
Oh my gosh.
That one feels like that one.
Growing up in the 90s, I should have hit that on the head. Everybody had a San Jose Sharks jacket.
Dude, it was like a starter's jacket. It was a thing. All right, Jess. First of all, you did better than me. I did. I tapped out at 12.
You got 12?
I got 12. But I did a geography thing where I did who can I name in Canada, who can I name in California.
You broke it down. See, that was
who
smart.
Who can I name on the East Coast?
That was smart of you to break it down.
You hit teams that I did not. You hit teams that I did not. So, okay. Nice. Are you ready for the Carolina Hurricanes? The Columbus Blue Jackets.
Wait, where's Columbus? Is that Ohio?
I believe so.
Okay.
Here's one you're going to be upset about. The New Jersey Devils.
Oh, my gosh.
The Islanders, the Rangers, the Flyers.
Philly. Flyers. Sorry, Philadelphia folks. I totally blew that one.
Pittsburgh Penguins, Washington Capitals. That's a sneaky one, right? That's a sneaky one. You feel like you should know that one, but it's going to get away from you.
Yeah.
Boston Bruins, Buffalo Sabres, you nailed. Did you? I don't think you nailed this one. Detroit Red Wings.
Yes, I got the Red Wings. Okay. Yes, that's one of my 13.
Florida Panthers.
Yep.
Montreal Canadiens.
See, they're called the Canadians.
How do you miss
and
that?
And I didn't even. Sorry.
Ottawa Senators. Tampa Bay Lightning.
Ooh, they just won a championship not too long ago.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Las Vegas just won last year.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Arizona, honestly, the Vegas one to me. Arizona Coyotes.
Coyotes.
Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh, I can't believe I missed that one. Jeez.
That's a tough one too. I feel like me personally, when you hit Red Wings, you completely forget about the Blackhawks. That was me.
I think, yeah.
Colorado Avalanche. Dallas Stars. Would have never got that one in a million years. Minnesota Wild.
I don't even Nashville think that they were a Predators, franchise.
Nashville, never in a million years. Here's a tricky one, Jess. St. Louis Blues. Feels like that one got away.
It feels like they're such an old school franchise. I feel like
I watched so much SportsCenter growing up that one would just, it's like, oh yeah, that's just the fly by night I saw them on SportsCenter.
St. Louis Blues. I bet you that they have some like crazy Hall of Fame player from that, you know, from that team.
Winnipeg Jets. I'm going to go quickly here now because you nailed most of these. Anaheim Ducks, you missed. The Calgary Flames, the Edmonton Oilers, and then here's Kings, Sharks, Kraken, Canucks.
The Canucks.
And we finish with the Golden Knights.
See, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you a little quick. The Canucks. I always felt growing up that calling a Canadian a Canuck was a bad thing. Why would you have your hockey team called the Canucks? Like, are you being silly? Like, oh, we're the Canucks.
This is like you being ahead of the curve when people were like, don't say Redskins.
Right?
You were ahead of the curve. You were like, wait a minute. I don't think we should be doing this.
Jeez.
You were. Jess, with that said, fun segment, seamless transition.
I love that. Nice.
The reason that we're starting the show with this is there's really not a lot of combat sports for us to dwell on this week. I missed the Canelo fight, so I cannot bring or add any substance with regards to that. Other than the highlight, I believe Jess missed the fight as well, so we don't have a ton of substance to add there. Grant Dawson versus Bobby Green, kind of weird. Almost feels like a fork in the road fight for Dawson more than anything because we know where Green's at. Is Bellator 300 this week? Am I missing that?
Bellator 300 is coming up. I don't know if it's this week.
Week, but I know it's around the corner.
You know what's funny about that too is I have no clue on.
Oh, I'm actually looking at it right now. We're so wrong. It is this weekend.
Is it this weekend?
What quick. Quickly, I'll just throw these fights at you.
Let's do this.
Give me a winner. Carmouche versus Ilmale McFarlane.
I love McFarlane, but I'm going Carmouche.
I agree. Cyborg versus Cat.
Cyborg kills her.
Kills her. If Cat can turn this into a grappling match, I think it's interesting, but I agree. I think Cyborg wins. I don't know if she kills her. Brett Primus versus the other Nurga. The other Khabib
part three. Or Bellator
Khabib?
Yeah.
Bellator's
Khabib. He wins.
Easily. All right. So any thoughts on Bobby Green versus this other cat?
I'm taking Bobby Green. I'm going to go Bobby Green by decision. I think the other cat's a semi-wrestler kind of dude. Reminds me of like a very poor man's Michael Chandler. He's got a good record, beat nobody. Bobby Green's at least beaten people. He's a name on the map. And we all know what Bobby Green does best, which is kind of scrap and grapple. And I expect him to do that very well. Keep Dawson on the ground as much as possible, and just keep him away with those long limbs of his. So I'm gonna go Dawson. Bobby Green.
You're going Green. I'm going Dawson. I think Dawson's gonna try and continuously take Green down at some point. I'd say maybe mid round, a second round. He'll get those takedowns. He'll give Bobby Green fits. He'll win two of the three rounds, or three of the five rounds, if this is a five-rounder. I like Dawson via decision. Jess, we're going to keep it moving here. We're not fucking around this week. I've got the NFL odds up. It's Thursday night. You know what that means.
Shitty games.
And as always, we're using thelines.com. We'll be right back. and all your favorite gambling sites. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna try my hardest not to spend a ton of time on bad games, but there are some bad teams that my ass wants to key in on. And the Chicago Bears is one of them.
Yeah. So I think we do need to spend a minute with Chicago.
Last week you and I disagreed on this pick because I like Denver and you like Chicago. You thought Chicago might be able to figure it out. And they did for about 2.5, 3 quarters, and then they just fucking fell apart at the goddamn seams.
Yes.
With that said, the Washington football team is a 6-point favorite at home. Shout out to my boys fan homie who at one point in this game tweeted, "That's my quarterback," with the T.O. gif, and then followed it up by the end of the game going, "I think we can draft the USC quarterback with the first pick, and we can draft Marvin Harrison Jr. with the second
pick." Yeah, you're Chicago's GM, you are not fucking around enough. you literally can pick Caleb Williams and then Marvin Harrison Jr., and you already are set for the next fucking 5 years as far as offense
is
concerned.
It's like the ultimate Madden. It's like the ultimate Madden. I can do whatever I want in this Madden draft.
Yeah, you pull off the trade restrictions, and you're just, like, trading everybody, right? You're like, I'm
turning off the salary cap. I'm turning off the trade restrictions. I'm putting Mike Vick on my team with Eddie George. All right, so Jess, I want your thoughts on this, but first of all, who you got?
So my thoughts on Chicago is that Justin Fields showed for most of almost an entire game why he was so heavily favored and picked where he was, and why people have talked about him and people have waited for that type of game. Except again, at the end, we see a letdown, we see turnovers, we see mistakes. And this isn't like a rookie. He's not a rookie anymore, right? We can't keep doing that to him and giving him that leeway. Like, he's a rook, man. He's a rook. He's like in his third or fourth year, man. Like,
yeah, we didn't do this shit with Mitchell.
Man. We basically crucified Mitchell, Trubisky, and all those other guys. So I got to stop doing this with Justin Fields. Is he talented? Yes. Is he athletic? Is he athletically gifted? Yes. But here's the thing, man. Chicago went out and spent a ton of money on talent to put around him. Not A-grade talent or anything, right? Like, these are, but usable, workable, talented athletes around him. They went and got him, like, two of the biggest fucking tight ends I've ever seen in my life. These guys look like giants out there. And yet, like, he can't complete simple passes. He still needs to revert back to, like, his old-school way of playing football where he just kind of takes off or stays on that one read. His ability to his vision to read all reads throughout the entire play, it's lacking. His decision-making skills just never developed. With that being said, I thought Chicago looked good for the first time this year, obviously with points total and everything, but they just let it get away from them. And that's just kind of how a bad team works. A bad team is allowed to look good from time to time, but good teams overcome and win those games. Bad teams lose those games.
I could imagine Jesse with the Sean Payton tweets in drafts just ready to fucking bury this poor guy.
I'm still ready to bury Sean Payton.
He just was ready to just put the dirt on this man's corpse, cold, dead body, and just rub it in, just get him deep in there. And I'll tell you what, there was a moment where they were down seven. Denver was down seven, and they were clearly moving. The pendulum was swinging like you wouldn't believe. And I'm watching this game, and I say to my wife, if Justin Fields doesn't figure it out right now, this fucking drive, this could be the entire season. This could be it. This is just one of those scenarios where we're at that point now where he's got a lot of people doubting him. He might be doubting himself. The people around him might be wondering if he's doubting himself. There's a lot of layers here. And this fucking guy fumbles this ball for a turnover, for a touchdown. And that was fucking it. As far as I'm concerned, Jess, that was it. I was like, this game's over. This guy's status as a starting quarterback moving forward in the future is over. He's done. His teammates have got to have given up on him. And it's unfortunate, but this is a wash season for the Bears. I was thinking about playing this game, but we've already played a game, so we'll play it next week. But I was thinking, Jess, we're officially four games into the season. We're about a quarter of the season done in the books. Now, with 17 games, it's a little different, but I think right now you could take 32 teams and eliminate 16 of them and go, these teams are not going to win a Super
Easily.
Bowl. I think you could. So we'll play that game next week.
It'll be but fun when
I,
we do.
I think both of these teams were
eliminated.
Eliminated. Get them right the fuck out of here. So, with that said, Jess, I like Washington. I like the points. They're going to run the ball down the fucking Bears' throat. And the Bears are going to continue to turn the ball over. They're going to make dumb mistakes. And like you said, bad teams make bad decisions. Make bad coaching decisions and find ways to lose leads in games. And the Bears will do this. I like Washington.
And weren't the Bears up like 28-7 or something at some point? They
were up
like,
three touchdowns.
Holy shit, man.
I'm telling you.
It was an epic collapse.
It was bad. I want to save, by the way, you took Washington in the points, right?
Yeah, Washington in the points. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Washington blows them out, but the points are, it's a good total. 5.5 is good. It's good.
No, I think this is a
6-9 point
Ron
win.
Rivera FU game. Yeah. I think he sticks it to the Bears. I think he beats them by 10.
Damn.
I really do. I like the point. I love
it. All right.
I'm going to come back to our London game because I got to give you the floor for the Bills for a second. I think you got to get a chance to rub my nose in it, if you will. This is an ugly game to me. I'll tell you what. Shout out to the guy at AEW last night who was about three rows in front of me who had two signs. One of them, fire Canada. The other one, fire Tomlin. Ooh. He made it a point to take two separate signs to get these fuckers on live television.
One sign is not enough. One sign cannot contain my distance.
No, and I'm not going to put it on both sides and utilize the sign. I don't want my ink running through and rooting the sign. I have to get this fucking point across. One, fire Canada. Two, fire Tomlin. The Baltimore Ravens, who sneakily would be on my list of teams that could win the Super Bowl. I'm not eliminating them yet. They're traveling to Pittsburgh. They're a 4.5 point favorite across the board, Jess. Ravens up. Who you got?
I got Baltimore in this game. Pittsburgh is an absolute train wreck right now. There's more than a handful of train wreck NFL franchises going on right now. But we're speaking about this game, and Pittsburgh is an absolute train wreck. I don't even know if Pickett's going to play. I think he banged up his knee or something last week.
He got hit on a fourth down. I mean, that was nasty.
And even if Pickett was healthy, does he really give you the option to win games? No, he doesn't.
So, they want to run Mitchell, right? Don't they have Mitchell?
Yeah, I don't understand why Mitchell Trubisky is not in this. At least he's won football games, okay? I believe as a starter, he's plus at least and not minus in games. So just play Trubisky. You have nothing else to play for this season except for a high enough draft pick to try to get yourself an offensive lineman or something. Najee Harris is not the guy that you thought he was going to be. Deontay Johnson is a solid receiver, always injured. And George Pickens is this guy who people on radio were like, oh, he's the next Randy Moss, man. I can't believe people passed up on him. Well, tell Randy Jr. that he should catch the football from time to time.
Randy Jr.
Baltimore. It's going to be another Baltimore ugly type game where it's a lot of running, a lot of defense. Super low scoring, Baltimore wins. But I like the points. 4.5 is good.
Yeah, you know, actually, I hate the points. I think this feels like a 17-13. I really do. I feel like it's going to land right on that push number. So I think Vegas is up to they're in their bag. This could be 1st-20. This is going to be the Steelers are once again going to tickle your pickle, Steelers fans, and make you think that they're going to be in this game, and they're not. Ravens win within the last 5 minutes. I'm going to, again, 1st-20 is in play. We don't push. So I do like the Ravens and the points. Don't love the points, but I'm taking Baltimore to win. And yes, Jess, I've been saying it all year. I'm going to come back. I'm going to ring this bell, and I'm going to bang this gong. The Tomlin thing is an issue. And again, when he's going to be in these close games, it's tough to fire a guy with that much prestige and that much clout when he's losing close games, he's got to really be in games where he's getting blown out before people are, before, you know, the Steelers fans are like, no, we got to get rid of him. No, he's got to go. But he put all of his eggs in that picket basket, and it didn't work.
What, Tomlin has like two, he's got two Super Bowls with Big Ben. When you when you're carrying around two Super Bowl rings in the last, you know, in the last 10 years, I mean, you ain't losing your job unless you're getting blown out of the water. Like you're not, you know, and Tomlin can easily come back behind the scenes, obviously, because he's not the type of guy to blow people in front of him. He's going to go behind the scenes to be like, look at who my quarterback is. You want me to go out here and how do I coach him? How do I coach that? That's what he's going to do.
He's got a beeline to ownership. Oh, yeah. He's not fucking around. He's telling them the truth behind the scenes. They know what's up. All right. Carolina Panthers, big time dogs. I see 10 across the
board.
That's
amazing.
They're traveling to Detroit. Jesse's favorite coach. Jess, who you got?
Dan Campbell, the Brosif. Oh, man.
Brosif.
I like Detroit. I like everything that they've been doing all season. I think they've had maybe one to two games where they haven't looked very efficient, but most games they look very efficient, even in the game that they lost. I believe that they're 3-1 right now. Mm-hmm. And baby Hans Goff is out there doing his thing, slinging the rock safely slinging the rock. People got gloves, they got their PPE on, you know, their masks and their eyewear and stuff, you know, make sure everyone's safe. I got Detroit. I don't love these points at all, but it's the Carolina Panthers, and they have nothing going for them. So you know what? I'm going to buy a surprise. I'm going to take the Lions and these points.
Yeah, 10's a lot, and I agree with you. It's really – Vegas wasn't fucking around. They got the pencil and the magnifying glass out, and they made sure they're on top of their shit with these points because this is another game. Feels like a real strong push. I like Detroit. I don't love the points, but I do believe they'll cover. I do believe it gets away from Carolina late. I don't believe Carolina makes a push. I could see something like 23-10, 27-13. So I'm going to go Detroit. Detroit likes to push on the pedal and really accelerate at home when they get a chance. And I don't remember his name offhand. I believe it's Hawkinson. But that motherfucking defensive lineman, I've been wanting to talk about this guy for 3-4 weeks, Jess.
Oh, Aiden Hutchinson, yes.
Brother, this guy is fucking
motor
good.
For days.
Like, dude, he is fucking good. And I know Bosa gets all the love right now. And the kid in for Philly right now, he's getting a lot of love. They're rookie. But, dude, there are so few players on the field that make such an impact. He is one of them. He is a fucking animal. All right, Houston Texans. Once again, shout out our boy JVD. We hope he joins us next week. His quarterback's doing things. I took Houston last week. I love them. I love the points. They are traveling to Atlanta, and I'll tell you right now, again, I love them. I love the points. I see 1.5. I do see 2.5 at one site here. So we'll keep it at 1.5. Atlanta's a favorite at home, but a slight favorite, Jess. What you got?
By the points, you know that Vegas is simply giving Atlanta the home field edge as slightly as possible.
But not much.
The normal home field advantage for two teams that are fairly close is 3 points. Say it about right. 3 points. Mm-hmm. 3 points at home. So they're giving Atlanta 1.5 to 2. That means they don't trust Atlanta at all. I don't trust Atlanta at all. Desmond Ridder is another one of those quarterbacks who should not be on an NFL field throwing with first team. He just shouldn't be in the starters group. He's not there. And again, this is another guy that, like, I mean, you got to take the baby gloves off eventually and say, look, man, he's been in the league for 2 to 3 years, and I know he's not had a ton of snaps, but he's got Kyle Pitts. He's got Bijan Robinson now. He's got all these dudes on the outside, and he still can't get the job done. I think he's averaging per pass like 5.5 yards per pass. Like, I don't trust him at all. CJ Stroud, on the other hand, is killing it. My boy JVD is loving life right now. Despite the record and everything else, the Houston Texans are showing promise. They got young guys on the outside. Tank Dell Jr.'s out there catching passes. They got all those running backs running for them. And most importantly, I believe that they finally are able to solidify the quarterback position. CJ Stroud has come in. He's shown poise in loss, poise in wins. He throws the rock well. He makes good decisions. Opposite of our boy Justin Fields. CJ makes smart decisions with the football, and he has just about the same, if not less, talent than what Justin Fields has in Chicago. I like Houston in the upset in Atlanta. Take the points. I think Houston wins by at least three.
Yeah, I hate Atlanta, and I think Atlanta is probably a bottom four or five team. I think we've talked about the four or five quarterbacks that we want to keep our eyes on this year. Ritter's one of them, Jess. I agree with you. He is a more than likely, at his best, a backup quarterback, not a starter. Atlanta is learning this the hard way. We got a lot of eyes on Ritter this past week with them being that early game, that lone game, that London game. And I don't know how you can't see how bad he is. He makes he's inaccurate, and he's just not a great quarterback. And he's got a little bit of happy feet. Reminds me of Carr's year one.
Ooh, that's a good reference.
Yeah, but I don't know like what his ceiling is, and I think his ceiling might be career backup, as opposed to Stroud. I said this the last 2 weeks, so I'm going to say it again this week. I like the Geno Smith comparison, where at some point you just got to realize play's dead. I'm throwing it away. Play's dead. I'm not going to try and extend it. I'm just going to go down. Play's dead. I'm good with a fucking 2 yard gain because that I can't extend this play. It's high football IQ shit, and not all quarterbacks are going to have it, and some quarterbacks are going to go, no, I'm just going to rely on being an awesome athlete, and I'll figure it out doing that shit. It shit don't work all the time. I think that the kid in, and you said it, Houston's figured it out. They're doing the best they can with the material they got. Nico is a great receiver. On any other team, he might be a two. But on this team, he's the one, and he's going to be, and he's great, and he's dope. He's his guy. So I love Houston. I love the points. We're going to have back-to-back wins out of Houston. We're going to have a lot of energy coming out of that city here real soon.
We're going to have a lot of energy out of Justin when he comes on the show.
Well, yes, of course. If we can figure it out, because my fear is it's going to be one.
We'll try our best.
This is what happens with all of our guests here, ladies and gentlemen. Is we tape at weird times. We can't always commit to a specific time. Life happens, and it's kind of difficult for us to get on the same page with all of our guests. We attempt to, trust me, but sometimes it just doesn't work. All right, but with that said, we're going to make an effort. Another 10 o'clock game here, Jess. Another very low spread. The New England Patriots are at home. I see a one across the board, Jess. And they are a dog at home to the New Orleans Saints. I see Pick'em as well. Holy shit. Jess, who you got?
Is it safe? Can we, now that we're like, what, 3-4 years removed from Brady leaving New England, can we finally put this to rest? That Tom Brady was more integral to that franchise than Bill Belichick. I'm not saying that Belichick didn't put anything on the table. Obviously, he did. He worked well with Brady. But being a head coach, you don't play the game. The players play the game. Brady went out there and constructed drives that led to touchdowns, that led to Super Bowls. Now that Belichick has no quarterback to do that, we're seeing what many people are now calling for the head of Bill Belichick for. I don't think it's necessarily fair at this point in time. Maybe, possibly, we're getting close. But, I mean, Belichick needs – every franchise needs that quarterback. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, a Brady or if you're a Carr, right? Like, there's a big gap in between that. I'm just saying. But if you can make safe plays with the football – or if you're dynamic and you can still make those same plays, you still will put points on the board, which lead to wins. And Mac Jones is just not that guy. A matter of fact, there's talk out of the locker room in New England that even his own players don't like him because of all the petty, weird ball tapping shit he does and stuff on the field. Like, he does some weird stuff, man. Like, he's a different dude. And I guess there's stories now going back to when he was in Bama that locker room didn't necessarily like him either. This cat's a different dude. He's not a winner, and New England won't win many games with him. But in this instance, I do have to take New England at home. I think that defense is still going to be the majority of the outcome of this game. New Orleans may or may not be without starting quarterback Derek Carr. Chris Olave had the worst game of his entire, probably the worst game of his football career last week with Carr being gone. I believe Olave had like zero catches or something. It was crazy. When you have a player of his caliber not getting any catches, it's nuts. I don't trust New Orleans with anybody else at the helm. Carr at least gives them a spark to win games. I'm taking New England at home.
I think the Belichick question is incredibly interesting. And I think much like Tomlin, there's got to be more time. Once again, we shake the eight ball and it comes back with unclear, check back again later. I think the problem is right now we go, well, Tom Brady won somewhere else and he won a championship and Belichick hasn't. But it's not like Belichick went, 4-13 since he's left.
Yeah. He's won 7-8 games.
He puts competitive teams on the field every year. And one of our biggest things with the Patriots the last few years has been they don't have a stud. They don't have a stud wide receiver. They'll grab a tight end that had a ton of upside potential, but it never really shook out. They'll draft running backs for a year or two and they'll have flash in the pans and then they don't pan out. They've just been really weird, and much like Tomlin, betting the house, betting the farm on Pickett and it not working. I think that's kind of what we're seeing with Jones now. And I think it's bad as well they've played some good defenses. And when you play the Cowboys defense and you're getting beat up, like it doesn't look great. But I don't want to sound like a Belichick defender by any means, but because at the end of the day, he's the guy in the draft room. He's the guy in the war room. He's the guy saying, yeah, y'all let me buy the groceries and this is what I'm cooking. And right now you ain't cooking shit. What you're cooking, it ain't feeding nobody. It ain't feeding us no W's. The W's Jameis likes to eat. So I think that they're stagnant, but if Belichick were to win another championship in 2 or 3 years. Now, of course, it depends on who that quarterback is. If he had fucked around like the Jets and got an Aaron Rodgers and won another championship, then the argument could be made, right? That deep dig argument of, well, he had to have an elite quarterback to do it. He couldn't do it with this guy. He couldn't do it with this guy. He had to go find another guy. But I think if he wins another championship, I think that it's a little bit more difficult to make that argument of he needed Brady and Brady didn't need him. But I think they're arm in arm. I really think they're arm in arm. And I think just when you paint the picture of a team, and you hear this all the time from football guys, right? It's an 11-on-11 game. Now the quarterback, of course, is going to be your maestro. But it's truly an 11-on-11 game. And the defense, a lot of times, was a big factor on those Patriots teams.
That's
and
true.
Special teams too. Like there were weird playoff games they won with just like special teams plays. So with that said, I like New Orleans. I like the points. I think New England is struggling. I think they're going to struggle to score points. And I think I think Kamara's back, and this is going to be a big feed Kamara game. He's going to get another 20 touches. They're going to find ways to get Olave the ball because I'm sure he's going to be griping in practice all week. So they'll design some shit for him. It's tough because we all know Belichick's good at taking away your best player. So if he decides to take away Olave or he decides to take away Kamara, then that changes everything. But this is a stinky, low-scoring game. This is a 17-13 game.
Definitely.
This is a 14-10 game. I like New Orleans. I like the points. Big Fred coming
real quick, just a funny thing about Belichick. This goes along the same lines as you're talking about Belichick being in the kitchen, right? Mm-hmm. He's in the kitchen. You buy me these groceries. This is what I'll do for you. So the Patriots they let J.C. Jackson go to free agency, right? Mm-hmm. He just had like career year at cornerback over there. He goes to free agency, signs this huge deal with the Los Angeles Chargers. He's been one of the biggest failures at cornerback for the past 2 years.
Got arrested,
and
all that shit.
All sorts of crazy stuff. Now the New England Patriots, they love their homegrown guys. They go and trade like a fourth-round pick or 2 fourth-round picks or something like to get J.C. Jackson back. This is after losing stud rookie corner Christian Gonzalez for the year, by the way. So hurt. New England is hurting in the secondary.
I think Gonzalez is a Central Valley kid. I can't remember offhand.
He is from California, played his college ball. He started somewhere else, but he ended at the University of Oregon.
Yeah, he's a Central Valley kid. So shout out to him. Oh, speedy recovery. All right, enormous spread here, Jess. Get ready. 12, 12 and a half, 12, woo. 12. I see 11 on one side, so let's keep it at 12. The stinky New York Giants are traveling to the coming off of a knockdown loss, Miami Dolphins, Jess. Are the Dolphins coming back to earth? Who you got?
No, they're gonna put 50 up on the Giants. Is what they're gonna do.
Oh man, let me tell you, there are two teams that I love to watch lose: the Giants and the Eagles. And watching the Giants just get punched in the fucking mouth every week, dude, it is great. Let me tell you, I mean, oh, I could watch it every week. It's just so much fun.
Jay's got all those great, like, Daniel Jones, like, weird face memes just flashing everywhere. Daniel Jones, Jason and I have been saying this since Jones came out, right? Like, he's not a good quarterback.
He's a great athlete.
He's
a great football player. That doesn't translate to a quarterback.
It doesn't always translate to being a great quarterback. He has some legs, right? He's got some wheels. Last year, he had a very solid year. Brian Daboll's, I believe it was Daboll's first year there, so he was able to, you know, concoct some things up that other defenses hadn't seen yet. But now, as the NFL does, things move. The NFL's defenses have seen what Daboll did. They've come up and put their own defense on the field against what Daboll's been doing. And Daniel Jones has looked, again, like Daniel Jones from a couple of years ago when Daniel Jones was really bad. He's back to being super terrible. Saquon Barkley still can't stay on the field. This guy loves football. He's not one of those dudes who just sits out because he's like, oh, man, I'm on a shitty team. Like, Saquon Barkley loves football. He just can't stay healthy enough to stay on the field. And even if he was, this Giants team still sucks. They're so bad. I can't do anything with the Giants. Miami's coming off of a pretty terrible loss to Buffalo last week in Buffalo. They are definitely going to be hot under the collar and looking for some points to put on the board. I say Miami drops them hard, like a Mike Tyson right hook. Just it's going to come fast, and it's going to happen. It's going to hit hard. I like Miami. Those points, you could double that shit, and I'd still take them.
You know, you would love to have Daniel Jones as your quarterback if you were a wide receiver on a Frisbee football league. He would just be so ill throwing you that Frisbee, and he's such an athlete. He can get up and down the field. He can make those crazy catches. He's just a great athlete. You just want him to play both ways. He can play defensive back. He'd just be awesome at throwing that Frisbee. But, like, your actual quarterback for your NFL team? No, it ain't working. I can make the same argument that I just made with New England, with the Giants, with regards to their wide receivers. Like, who's the best wide receiver the Giants have had in the last 10 years outside of Odell Beckham? That's fucking nobody.
Yeah.
It's fucking nobody. They've missed in the draft. They've really missed, and they thought that bringing in Waller the Baller was going to be the answer, and it's not, because, like you said, Jess, teams are smart. Defenses are smart. Oh, we're going to take away Daniel Jones' safety faucet. Oh, and now he doesn't have Saquon? Oh, yeah, this is easy. I'll tell you what, though, real quick thing on Saquon. You know, and you mentioned it, the guy loves football. And you see some guys on the sidelines, and they're getting blown out, and they're not dressed. But they're having fun. They're smiling. They're laughing. Maybe they're trying to bring some energy to the team, even though they're getting blown out. Like, they're not necessarily disrespecting the game as much as it's like, well, what am I going to do? I'm not suited up. We're losing by 20. Let me go see if I can fucking have some fun with this coach. Every time I see Saquon on the sidelines, he just looks upset. He just looks mad. He just looks like, what the fuck am I doing here? What are we doing? And that's unfortunate, Jess. And you know what? It's crazy because I think the same thing about Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing about Devontae Adams, where he's saying, dude, I'm in a losing culture. We're trying to change this fucking culture around. And right now, the culture is losing, and it's rubbing off on people, and it stinks, and I don't fucking like it. I'm trying to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I think that's what's going on with Saquon. Yeah, they're going to get punched in the fucking mouth. And you're right. It could be 20. And I'm taking the fucking 20. Miami's picking themselves off the mat after losing a 15-round fucking heavyweight fight with one of the best teams in the NFL. And, yeah, they're going to – and our boy, Vape Coach, is going to take a rip off of that cotton candy vape, that six nick, because he had to take it from a 3 to a 6 because he's stressing. I get it. And he's gonna roll these boys. These Giants are gonna get rolled. And Jess, I'm gonna go here. This guy Daniel Jones is gonna fuck around and get 3 coaches fired. He got fucking Judge Jones or Joe Judge fired. He got this other fuck guy fired.
Dable's next.
He's about to get 3 fucking coaches fired. It ain't a coaches. Maybe it ain't a coaches problem.
Well,
maybe
at this point in time, problem. You can't fire Jones, right? You just gave that guy like one of the largest contracts.
No, you did the
history.
Opposite. You did the opposite. You gave him more money.
Damn.
You fucked yourself. I think I heard that his. I could have swore I just heard Cowherd talking about this and saying you could flip him in like a year. Like he's a. He got paid, but a lot of it's up front, and a lot of it's back ended.
If that's the case, and for the New York Giants football franchise, I hope it is, because you have to do something with this kid, and you just can't let him work out the rest of his like next 6 years or now 4 years or whatever left of his contract, paying him ungodly money to play football like he's played this year. You just can't let him sit back and do that.
All right, last of the 10 o'clock games, and then we'll hop back up here to that Bills fun game. Tennessee Titans, they're on the road. They're a 2.5-point favorite across the board to the Indianapolis Colts. It's not Minshew Mania, right? They're running a guy out there. They're running AR-15.
Yeah, AR-15.
Right?
AR-15's out there. And
this is an interesting spread again, Jess. Vegas was not fucking around this week. They got the fine-tooth comb out. That 2.5 is sneaky because this feels like a 3-point win either way. Who you got?
I'm going 3-point win, Indy, at home. I think we were talking about our guy, CJ Stroud, right? We were talking about CJ Stroud and where he's at in his short, minute career and how much growth he's shown in just the past 4 games. His head when it's on a football field, where he's throwing the ball, who he's throwing it to, is he getting rid of the ball, making those important decisions, right? Decision making. AR-15 is not a decision maker, but he is an athletic super freak. The guy can throw the ball like 85 yards down the field. He can run faster than most running backs in this league. He's very elusive. He's a little bit Cam. He's a little bit, you know, Steve Young. He's a little bit this and that. If he can put together a string of passing plays where, and this depends on the coaching staff, they have to give him the right plays to be able to make on the field. But I think the AR-15 is in that group with CJ Stroud as to be a potential franchise quarterback guy. If the Bills can turn Josh Allen from Wyoming into what he is today, then the Colts better be thinking about how can we turn this kid into Josh Allen. Right? Because they're about the same size. They got some of the same skill sets. They both are a little wild in the pocket. Let's turn AR-15 into Josh Allen, and then let's dial him in and get him where he needs to be. I think AR-15 is super, uber talented guy, and I think that he's going to make just enough plays, both with his arms and his feet, to beat the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, I'm going opposite, but man, I love AR-15. I'm all in. I'm chips in the middle on AR-15.
I love that, yeah.
I love Tennessee's defense, and they're scrappy as all hell.
Sneaky good.
And when they start, listen, they got a sneaky good defense. The Lions got a sneaky good defense. You get these fucking defensive mind coaches running your shit, and all of a sudden you got really good, nobody believes in us type defenses where you don't need necessarily that big, sexy superstar name. You just got a bunch of gritty motherfuckers. This is 1st-to-20, in my opinion. I like Tennessee. I like a big run game out of Tennessee here. I think they're going two-headed monster. I think we'll get a little bit of D-hop on the backside, maybe 80 to 100 yards and a TD off of play action. I'm going Tennessee. I think they win by four. This feels like another 17-21, 14-20 type game. So I like Tennessee, and I like the points. Jess, let's get real sexy on it real quick. Let's talk Buffalo Bills. Let's give you a bit, hashtag Bills Mafia corner for a sec. You got to be very optimistic. This might be the most optimistic that you've been this year. So I'm excited to hear your call. they're traveling to London, so this is technically a road game, in my opinion, because the Jaguars are always playing in fucking London.
Well, weren't they just there last week?
Yeah, they just stayed.
I mean, they just stayed, right?
There.
They
took a whole plane of food. No bullshit. They flew up. My boy TK, Tony Khan, loaded up the jets. He took a bunch of American food over there. He took some pico de gallo. He took arroz con pollo. He took all that good shit over there. Kept the boys fed with that good American food so their tummies aren't getting weird. I see a 5.5 across the board. Caesars Sportsbook, BetMGM, FanDuel. Jess, who you got?
I'm going to start by saying I'm going to take Buffalo and the points. I think that Buffalo is on another level right now. They started the season with that very poor performance against the Jets. And since then, it's just been a step better, leading up to last week's game in Buffalo. So, I mean, obviously home field advantage, big deal, especially in a rivalry game like Miami and Buffalo. And Buffalo goes and they beat the brakes off the Miami Dolphins late. It got away from them late, right? Buffalo made the right defensive plays. You want to talk about defensive coaches taking over football teams? Well, Sean McDermott is a very great defensive-minded coach. I just don't feel that he's a great head coach, right? Well, mm-hmm. This season, the difference with what McDermott's doing is he's less head coach and more, I'm going to be defensive coach. And then Dorsey, you're going to be offensive coach. And then when questions and media are, you know, have to be answered, I'll be the face of that, right? And the players love McDermott, but you can see the difference. It's like a little lighter load being taken off his shoulders now that he's basically primarily just doing defensive call playing. And it's panning out. Buffalo's defense is tops in the league in quarterback pressure. They're tied for most sacks. They're tied for most interceptions. I mean, the defense is just getting after guys. You saw Tua. I said it last week when we talked about this game. The only way Buffalo's winning this football game is if they can get pressure on Tua. That's the only way you can beat that guy. If you let him sit in the pocket, he only needs one read. That's it. Because usually the first read is Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek Hill's 15 yards away from the whatever defender's trying to defend him. And that's what Buffalo did. The first drive, I think both teams scored on like their first three drives. It was insane amount of offense.
It was crazy.
The first thing that happened is Buffalo changed their defensive schematics. They started doing different blitz packages. They started throwing in a few exotic plays. It changed Tua's mind a little bit in the field. Like, oh shit, I didn't see that linebacker before. Where's my second read? Oh shit, where's my third read? By then he was getting hit. When you can change his playmaking, it changes everything about how he quarterbacks and how that whole offensive scheme runs in Miami. Vape coach has a track meet on that field at offense at all times. You have to be able to stay one step ahead, and it's tough for defenses. But if you put pressure on the quarterback, it at least gives you a chance to breathe. That's what Buffalo did. And then they ended up taking that game late and scoring, you know, 48-20. It was a big win for Buffalo. Moving on to this week. You have that lag, that jet lag, you know. I believe Buffalo is already there.
They got to be.
They're there. They got there yesterday or early today, one or the other. Can't remember exactly when. But the jet lag is no joke. Like, Jay, you travel a lot. I've been on a few plane rides here and there. Jet lag is a real thing. You show up a different time zone, and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, shit, man, what's going on?
Takes a day or two.
When you're flying from upper Western New York to London – like, it's a lot of jet lag, man. And so Buffalo's going to have to try to get past that. Jacksonville has had the luxury of being there all week. And, of course, they played the absolute garbage Atlanta Falcons last week, so they get a win, right? But here's the thing. Jacksonville, I know that you just got me on board the Trevor wagon. But Trevor Lawrence ain't looking so sharp. And I don't know what's going on in Jacksonville, but the offense hasn't looked very sharp. The playmaking, whatever's happening on the field, there's something not connecting right with that Jacksonville offense, which I believe should be a lot better on paper and on film. And they just aren't showing it. I don't know what the deal is with Jacksonville. I'm going to take Buffalo. I think that defense, even without Trey White, God, that guy. He'll up Trey. That's a huge loss. I mean, whenever something happens with an Achilles, I always go back to Kobe and seeing how Kobe returned after that. Just not the same guy, right? We're also going to lose Greg Rizzo, most likely. He's not going to play in this game. He's been dealing with a foot issue. So we're going to rely on a bunch of dudes who are kind of coming off the bench and playing these starter roles. We're going to have to continue that defensive momentum and get pressure on Lawrence. And, you know, Lawrence is what they call him, the prince, you know, like the prince of Tom Brady. I do like Trevor. I think that Trevor is going to have a better game, especially against our beatdown secondary. He's definitely going to be able to pick it apart a little bit more than if he would have played us last week. But I like the points. I don't like travel time, but I'm going to take the Bills and the points.
Yeah, you've really done a great job of keying in on the Bills' defense this year, and I've been more, I need more. I don't feel comfortable saying they're a great defense yet. But now I feel comfortable saying it. They're a great defense. They were disruptive. So many plays in the second half of that game when it was getting away from Miami where they're just disruptive at the line. They're disruptive at the snap. And this is the first game of the year where you saw Tua have issues. This is the first game you saw Tua, as you mentioned, Jess, not able to have that track race type of offense when the in-game adjustments were made. And he looked bad a lot in that second half. And I know there's been a lot of Tua MVP, Tua this, but he just looked bad in that second half. And I mean, I got no dog in the fight. It is what it is. I'm going to say, if I say he looks bad, he looked bad. That's what I saw. So that looked like last year Tua post-concussion. That looked like year prior to it. We were like, he shows signs, but we're not sure. I clearly think that'll change this week playing the Giants. So get your confidence back real quick playing against that defense. When Miami would make a little bit of a run, it would just be Stephon Diggs going, let me show you who the fuck I am moments. Like he was so goddamn impressive. And that touchdown catch where he basically broke two tackles, I mean, that was just grown man shit.
Yeah.
There's moments where, you know, you're going to see football players be quick and elusive, and he just did grown man shit. And that just, to me, I'm always impressed by that. I like Buffalo. I like the points. It's difficult for me to make great assessments on Jacksonville's game in London because I watch that shit on Disney Plus where it's the Toy Story and there's no real football being played. It's like watching a fucking video game. It was like watching Madden Football Toy Story. I can't tell you how
it was actually like watching like Madden like 98.
It really was. I can't, like Game Day 98 too. I can't tell you if Trevor was accurate because I was watching that shit with the video game style. Like I really can't tell you. But I think this is going to be a bit of what we saw last week with the Buffalo-Miami game. I think Buffalo is going to come out slow. I think the jet lag is going to give him some issues. I think coming down off of that big-ass win is going to give him some issues. I think it's going to take him a half to get it situated. I wouldn't be surprised if they're down like 14-10, 17-10, 17-13 at halftime. Because again, Jacksonville has that advantage of staying put and telling you, flying their own food in, having their own chefs and not making that adjustment. It's just an adjustment, man. But I think Buffalo makes those in-game adjustments second half, similar to what they did in Miami. I think they boat race fourth quarter. I like Buffalo. I like the points. I like something like, I don't know, 34-20, 30-17, something like that. We're hopping into our 1 o'clock games here, Jess. First one I've got here is an absolute stinker. I am ready to stick a fork in the Cincinnati Bengals. They're a 3-point favorite. That is fucking it. 3 points across the board. against at home the Arizona Cardinals, who are a 14-point dog last week against San Francisco. Jess, who you got?
I have no words to describe the Cincinnati Bengals. They were just in the fucking AFC Championship game last year. Like, they had a duel. It was Joe Burrow and Mahomes, man. Like, back and forth. It was crazy, man. Like, and now we're here where we're at, where the Bengals are 3-point favorites at Arizona.
It's wild.
You know what? I'm going to continue the trend. I'm going to take the Arizona Cardinals.
No, you're whipping it out.
Arizona, their defense, for one, is no joke. Their defense is trying to win football games. If Josh Dobbs can finish 1 to 2 drives in this game, like, finish them. Like, he has drives where it's like, wow, I can't believe Josh Dobbs, of all people, just did that, right? Dobbs in the starter role. We have to remember, he's not ever played an entire season as a starting quarterback. He's come in, he's filled in, he's started games and then been benched, and then he's in with a bunch of misfits, man. But he's starting to get control of this offense with what offense he has to control. And James Conner is out there playing hard and running the ball hard. Marquise Goodwin is out there. Hollywood's out there playing hard. The defense wants to win these games. And if Joe Burrow shows up looking like Joe Burrow from the past 4 weeks, he is going to get sacked 5 times this game. I'm telling you, this defense is no joke. They're not the Cowboys. They're not the Niners. But they are a good, solid, one of those beat down, how dare you think that we're trash defenses, I'm going to show you what's up kind of defense. They're a dog right now. They're going to play like dogs, and they're going to go in there. I'm telling you right now, my first upset, and I'm being legit with this. I'm not just picking it because I've done the homework on these teams.
Done the math.
T. Higgins ain't happy. Joe Mixon ain't happy. That offensive line is garbage. They can't protect Joe even if they were healthy. No wonder the guy can't. He's limping around on one leg every year because this franchise – refuses to get him legitimate tackles to keep him upright. This is what happens when you don't replenish your offensive line. I'm going to go Arizona at home, big, huge home upset win against the little itty bitty Bengals.
The Arizona Cardinals remind me of last year's Texans, where it was a lot of nobody believes in us, a lot of Damn, they got a chance to win this game. A lot of damn, they were supposed to get beat by 10, and they lost by a field goal in the last second. They're scrappy as all hell. It's interesting to me that when we were looking at the year in total before the season started, everybody was penciling Arizona in as the first team to tank for Caleb Williams. Like, they were the first team, and now it feels like every week they're in competitive football games against teams that they're supposed to be getting the brakes beat off of. God, you're just pulling your balls out, and this is an incredibly brave pick, and you got to make them. I'm a pussy. I'm not doing it. I'm talking myself into the Bengals only because I think they're going to be able to run the ball well against Arizona with that great defense. Man, the Bengals are struggling.
Joe Mixon is not CMC, baby. He is not.
Dude, and I'll tell you what. I would not be surprised if the Bengals lose this game. Like, you really might be onto something here. And I'll tell you what. Man, I'm flipping. I'm trying too hard to talk myself into the fucking Bengals here. And because of this, because I'm trying so hard to talk myself into the Bengals, I'm going with you. I'm riding with you. I'm riding with Arizona. I've seen a lot of Arizona this year. I like what I see. I think that quarterback Dobbs is sneaky as all fuck, and he extends plays, and he's good. He's like a Jacoby Brissett type of quarterback.
Exactly,
where you go
exactly.
Where you go, man. He might be like the 32nd starter on somebody's team. Like, he's not Mahomes.
No.
But he's not fucking picking. Like, I I'm going. I like Arizona by a field goal.
Here's my reasoning, bro. Here's my reasoning. Cincinnati flat out looks defeated. And Burrow is a champion, right? Like, he wants to win football games so much that he is willing to put his body continuously on the line. And you can't.
But when do you stop? When do you bring the fuck up?
Exactly.
And I mean to interrupt you, but when at some point, when do you go, hey man, we know you're a tough dude. We know you want to win for this city. We get all that. But dude, it ain't working right now. It just ain't working. We can't fucking protect you. We got to take some of the blame on ourselves. Our line stinks. And we at some point we got to fucking pull the plug. The Bengals are in a really unique position because they've been looked at as a fucking poverty franchise for so many years that they finally turned it around. And I don't think that they want to give up. And I get it.
Ooh, that's a good point too.
They don't want to give up and go, nah, dude, we've worked so fucking hard to turn this wheel around. But the reality is, at some point you got to go, man, we don't want to have a Baker Mayfield situation where we keep running our guy out there and he's more of a liability than he is an asset. And now maybe this is a game where you go, hey, man, you know what? This is a 2014 win for the Bengals. And he was able to just shucked it up two times. And their amazing wide receivers got under those fucking two ducks. And they were able to get in the end zone. Maybe that happens. I can see that happening.
Sure.
That's like the only way that I can see the Bengals winning this game. But just complete football. Man, I like Arizona here. You've talked me into it. You're right. I'm not going to talk myself out of it. Arizona wins. Fucking the Bengals. The Bengals are in trouble. And again, at some point, man, you got to just fucking have that GM go, we got to sit our guy. And if it's for 4 weeks, if it's for 6 weeks, if it's for fucking 8 weeks, let's do it. You can't continuously try and push him out there and go, we're close.
You got to make a decision soon too. We're in week five now, right? Like you said, Jay, we're close to that quarter of the century mark here in the NFL season. You have to make a decision with Joe Burrow right now.
If you sit him for 4 weeks and you go 0-4, you're not making the fucking playoffs. It is what it is.
Exactly. But a decision has to be made. And the decision in Cincinnati that needs to be made is Joe Burrow isn't going to play for X amount of weeks.
It should have been made week one.
1,000%.
When you and I were going, damn, the Lions are pick them because they don't know if Burrow's going to fucking play. Okay, Philly, the Rams, we're all over the place. I'm feeling hot. I'm feeling good now. I want to keep moving. The Eagles are a fucking 4.5-point favorite across the board, Jess. I'll tell you right now, and I got no problem saying this, everybody loves the Niners just like everybody loves the Acclaimed. And I get them being number one on everybody's fucking list. Dude, the Eagles are number one on my list. And I don't like saying it as the number one Eagles hater possibly on the planet. But they're fucking good, Jess. They're good. They're a 4.5-point favorite. They're traveling from east to west. They're going to L.A. The Rams are a 4.5-point dog across the board here, Jesse.
They are not number one on my list. As a matter of fact, they may be number five on my list. I am not as impressed by the Philadelphia Eagles as everybody else. I get it. They are good. But Jalen Hurts has not looked good except for last week, which he finally threw for over 300 yards. The defense is always going to be the defense. Just like in San Francisco, if Purdy starts to have a couple of off weeks, the defense is still going to be there to pick that team up. The players around Purdy will be there to be able to pick him up. The Philadelphia Eagles also have that. A.J. Brown finally is getting the football, and he's happy. And he's showing that by catching, 10 catches for 170 yards a game. The guy is happy, so he's playing happy. But the thing is they've not been as dominant as they were last season. The scores that they're putting up are not as dominant as it was last year. And Jalen Hurts doesn't look as crisp as last year. In this case, I'm still going to take the Eagles, and I like the points because it's on the lower end. And again, Philadelphia ain't been putting up 40 points a game. They've been putting up 23, but they have the defense to back it up because you don't need to put up 40 points a game when the defense is holding everybody else to 20. And that's what's happening to Philadelphia. The defense is really the star of that show right now. The Rams, Matt Stafford looks rejuvenated. That elbow don't look like it's causing him problems no more. That back don't look like it's sore. He's getting it rubbed down every day. He's getting, Stafford's looking good. Hook and the cow. Who likes the rook, man? The rookie. The rookie's killing it.
I keep hearing rookie of the year now, which is crazy to me.
Just catching crazy. I don't think I've seen too many rookie receivers come in and play at this level outside of guys who were meant to already come in and play at this level, Puka Nakao was not meant to come in and play at this level, and he is. It's a testament to Matt Stafford and the trust and the fact that he has no one else to throw the ball to since Cooper Kupp's been out. But the rookie has filled in just fine for Cooper Kupp. And imagine when Cooper comes back, if Coop comes back and he's 100%, man, that offense could see an uptick in that offense from what it is right now. With that being said, I get it. It's, you know, from Philly to St. Louis to the Rams. The Rams are at home. I get it. But Philly's still going to come in. I don't think that they roll the Rams, but they beat the Rams. I'll take the points.
What I love most about Philly, I said it last week, I'll say it again this week, is their ability to run the ball. They run the ball, that old school 90s football style. It's very NFC East. And when they want to get nasty in between the trenches on offense or defense, they can. That rookie defensive lineman that fell to them, that every Cowboys fan went, shit, they scored, has been playing out of his fucking mind. And I think the Rams have been playing way above the bar. They are maximizing what they have there. I like Philly. I like the points. I think this is going to be something like 27-20, 30-20 Philly. This is going to be another grinder game where you just see them just grinding. They're going to have like total 200 yards rushing with the three-headed monster, if you will, between Hurts and then the two kids they run out there. I like Philly, and I love the points. All right, Jess, we got four games left. I feel like we've hit a lot of games, and there's buys, and we're still running here. Kansas City Chiefs, very weird line. I don't get it. Is Mahomes hurt? I don't know what's going on. 3.5-point favorite on the road. They're traveling to the Vikings. Who you got?
Honestly, the same thing can be said about Philly's line against the Rams. I mean, it's only 4.5. KC is on the road against Minnesota. And for some reason, people still have a lot of hope for Minnesota. And I think that maybe that's where this point's total's coming from. 3.5 seems really low. Minnesota is going to do well. They're going to do fine, especially against KC's secondary. KC's never been known for a shutdown secondary type defense. The front line is still strong, and they're going to get to Cousins. Cousins is still going to flick some passes out there to Justin Jefferson. Jefferson's still going to probably end up with well over 100 yards. But KC in general schemes really, really well. And that goes to really show the type of coach that Andy Reid is. Andy Reid can scheme for any football team. I mean, he's right up there with the Belichick and the Tomlins as far as that's concerned. And yes, KC doesn't have the offensive explosion that they've had in the past, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years. But they still have Pat Mahomes. They still have Travis Kelce, Dash Swift. And they Taylor Swift. We'll throw that in there a little bit. They still have those guys, and that's all you really need to beat teams like Minnesota. What's going to be interesting is when we get deep into the season, how Kansas City reacts to some of these better defenses. I'm still going to take KC, and at 3.5, I love those points.
Yeah, this feels like a 7-point game to me easily. Is it maybe? I think maybe Minnesota does a great job of sticking around, and they're like the king of backdoor covers because they're always scoring late to try and stay in a game. So maybe that's what Vegas is thinking. Once again, they've got the magnifying glass out. So maybe they're thinking, oh, this is a 10-point game the entire game, and then at some point Minnesota hits you with that backdoor cover. But I like Kansas City, and I like the points. I agree with you, Jess. At some point, they're going to have to come to a realization that those receivers that they have will not win them a Super Bowl. At some point, they cannot continuously count on Kelce and their running backs to catch balls out of the backfield. At some point, you're going to need a receiver to make a catch and make a play. Whether they pick somebody up via trade, which I guess is going to be the only way they do it, because I don't know who's on the streets that's making plays. Fucking Dez Bryant. I don't know who they got out there. That's that receiver.
Hey, T.O. always says he's in shape, right? So
he's a six-pack like you wouldn't believe. I don't know who they pick up, but I think they're going to have to make a move to bring in a receiver to, if they're going to win the championship. Otherwise, I'm not eliminating them. I'm just saying that they got to make a move. I like Kansas City. I like the points. The New York Jets, they stink. They are traveling to Denver. Jesse thinks they stink.
They do stink.
Denver is a 2.5-point favorite. I see a 2 in there, but we're going to stick with a 2.5. Every other site's got them at a 2.5. Pretty much dead money, dead weight at home, Jess. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Denver. They're at home. Mm-hmm. It's always tough to travel to. There's a couple places that are tough to travel to. Anyway, you know, when you're traveling east to west, or vice versa. Both of those are very difficult games to catch up on. But when you travel to Denver, which isn't either, it's kind of Midwest or Central, you also got to worry about the elevation, right? Like that Denver air is thin, baby. It's thin. It's tough to breathe out there. It's really tough to breathe when they're the New York Jets and you're a terrible fucking franchise.
Yes.
So Zach Wilson, he balled out last week, right? And I don't like to use that very often, but he did. Zach Wilson had a very good game last week. And much like Justin Fields had a very good game, both quarterbacks found ways to lose the game. That's what happens when you're not a good quarterback. Bad teams, they lose football games. Good teams find ways to win football games. Bad teams find ways to lose. And the Jets found ways to lose. Just and Denver, I don't. Denver beat Chicago, but by all rights, Chicago had them dead to rights, and they shouldn't have even been in that game. Yeah. It just shows how all these teams are just terrible, and it doesn't take a whole lot to beat one another when you're that bad. Russell Wilson, he's still not dangerous like back in Seattle, right? He's still Russ Wilson, who throws, you know, ducks in the ground every 15 yards, and he tries to make plays with his legs, but he's just not quite the same. The offensive line's not quite the same. The only reason I'm picking Denver in this game is I think that Denver will be able to build, I guess, a little bit off of last week's win, and the fact that New York simply is terrible. Breece Hall is complaining about not getting carries. While they're giving the ball to Dalvin Cook, and guess what Dalvin Cook's doing with his carries? He averages 2.5 yards a carry. Dalvin Cook.
Is there nothing?
Dalvin Cook, people. They were talking about this guy last year in Minnesota, like he was the next coming of, you know, the bus. And here he is in New York, which I actually thought was going to be a good place for him to be, where he could split and be healthy and kind of have a good two-headed monster type running game in New York. And he's averaging 2.5 yards a carry. That whole team is a mess. Don't you dare tell me at this point in time that Aaron Rodgers would have made this a whole lot better. It would have been better, but not by much. This team is terrible. I'm going to take Denver, and I'm going to take the points.
I think it's amazing that when we were taping the preseason show, while we were taping the show, the Dalvin Cook to the Jets news broke. And we were like, wow, they're handling the Super Bowl. They're fucking, they got everybody now. And 4 weeks later, week 5, they're dead rights, as you said. These are two bad football teams. I'm not going to spend a ton of time talking about them. I like Denver. I don't love the points. I don't love my pick. I can see the Jets defense showing up and the Jets just pounding the absolute shit out of the rock. Wilson not turning the ball over and them getting out of there with like a 17-13 win. I can see the Broncos making less mistakes and the Jets struggling, traveling east to west, and the Broncos fucking around and winning something like 17-13. I'm taking the Broncos. I don't love the points. And again, two bad football teams. Somebody's got to win. We've got two games left here, Jeff. Look,
we know what game we want to talk about last. So let's move to Green Bay, Las Vegas, because we can't talk.
That's fine.
That other game's got to be last.
That's fine. That's the sexy game. The Green Bay Packers are a 1-point dog, and I do see pick them on one of these websites. They're traveling to Las Vegas. I'm not sticking a fork in Vegas yet, but the fork is on the table, Jess. Who you got?
I think that what we saw last week was a little AOC. Burst. It was a little burst of our excitement boy. With AOC. Our boy Brian got to be happy.
Every Raiders fan. Every Raiders
fan. It's true. If you're Raiders a Raiders fan, I work with a hardcore Raiders fan, right? And he was like, he was really excited. And usually he takes Raider losses pretty bad. He was actually pretty excited about in their loss last week, at least having Aiden O'Connell play. You got to be optimistic with Aiden O'Connell. He came in. He showed some burst of arm strength. He showed a little tiny bit of mobility. He showed some decent decision-making. But let's not forget that he's a rook, and this is his first time playing in an NFL action game. Things were going to go wrong, right? Like, usually Peyton Manning did not look good in game one. You know, Brady didn't look good in game one. Aiden O'Connell is not Brady or Manning, but he also did not look good in game one. But he looked okay. Be optimistic, yep. Raider fans.
You'll take that.
I think that O'Connell gives you a few extra dimensions in the quarterback game than Jimmy Garoppolo. I also don't think it's time to just pull Jimmy G. I'm going to go that direction. I think as soon as Jimmy G is healthy, I think you put Jimmy G back. You let O'Connell study the game. He's been able to study the game for a few weeks. He had to play. That's what happens when you're the backup quarterback. You have to play. But I think that when Jimmy G is healthy, you stick him back and finish out that year with Jimmy G. Let Aiden O'Connell study, get used to the game, get comfortable with his teammates, get comfortable with the coaching staff, the playbook. And then maybe next year you start talking who's really starting week one. But to this game, I know that people were in love with Jordan Love. They were in love with the things that the Packers were doing. But the Packers are just – they're kind of hurt, man. A lot of mumbles and grumbles coming out of that camp right now.
Yeah,
Aaron Jones.
A lot of whispers.
Yeah, a lot of whispers. A lot of talk about Aaron Jones not being happy. A lot of talk about Christian Watson complaining about not catching passes. You know what? I can't go with a real disgruntled football team. I'm going to go with a team that showed some spark last week. I'm going to go Raiders at home.
Shout out all Raiders fans, homies. They're excited about AOC. I don't know one Raider fan that just echoes your statement, which is we want Garoppolo back out there. They don't like Garoppolo. I think a lot of it has to do with the 49er lineage. But they want AOC out there now. AOC had a chance down a touchdown. He had the ball. I think it was 2 minutes left. Chargers are once again trying to find a way to fucking lose that game.
Called that too, by the way, last week.
And the best part, this last drive, and it was clear as crystal, AOC went, fuck that. I'm throwing every ball to Davante Adams, and you're either going to fucking double him or you're going to stop, or you're going to fucking jump the route. If not, he's catching this fucking ball. And every fucking ball went to Davante, and he caught every fucking one of them. And they're on that goal line. I don't know, they're on a 2 yard line, 3 yard line, or some shit like that. And I'm thinking, you gotta run Jacobs here. You gotta run Jacobs here. You've thrown the ball to fucking Davante too many times. You've gotta run Jacobs just to mix it up. Just to go, well, fuck, they didn't throw to Davante this time. Maybe they won't this next time. But no, they threw it. He didn't even try and like do the sneaky Peyton Manning. I'm going to have my eyes looking to the left, but I'm not throwing to the fucking left. I'm throwing to the right. No, they stacked the fucking line, trips on the right. It was obvious as fucking to everybody. Again, everybody in the stadium, everybody watched TV knew where this fucking ball was going. So the defensive back went, oh, I'm just going to jump this route because I know they've thrown to him fucking 7 of the last 8 plays. And he jumped the fucking route. He got an easy interception. The Raiders lost.
Yeah.
Once AOC learns, oh, I can't do that. I've got to fucking use a little bit more of a higher QB IQ. I've got to fucking look my guy off before the snap. This was Baker's biggest problem, by the way. If you remember me on my Baker tangents, this was Baker's biggest problem. I never look off of the one. I'm throwing to that one every fucking time. It does not matter if he's covered or not. He's going to the fucking one. You can do that when you've got Adams. You can't do that when whoever the fuck Baker was throwing to back then. But I, dude, if I'm a Raiders fan, I'm optimistic as all hell. I'm hoping they run AOC out there for the rest of the year. If I'm a Raiders fan, I say, fuck it. Let's lose every game from here on out, but let's get AOC his reps now. Let's not wait. This Garoppolo fucking experiment was never going to work. Let's get him out of there now, and let's run AOC out there and see what happens.
It's just funny because the NFL world was talking just like a couple weeks ago how Jimmy G has been a fresh breath of air to the Raiders organization, and Devontae loves having Jimmy G there, and like
he was talking shit when he's saying we need winners, I want winners. When he goes on that, dude, some of that's at your quarterback.
Especially when it's coming from your wide receiver, right?
One more quick thing on Vegas. I had a buddy at the Raiders home opener. I believe it was against the Steelers. He said it was 80% Steelers fans.
Yikes.
Yeah. And you know what? It's probably going to be 80% Packers.
Hey, fans. That's how it was when they played Buffalo, right?
So
how many Bills fans were in attendance?
And good luck to my Raiders peoples showing up to this game, because those fucking cheeseheads, they will fight. They got big right hands. A lot of those boys are big meaty men slapping meat. Industrial working motherfuckers. So be ready. I like Vegas. I like the points. Feels like a pick-up. I think the Raiders grind the ball out. I think that the Packers find ways to lose this game.
Yeah.
I'm going to go that route. I like the Raiders. I like the points. Last game, Jess. The Dallas Cowboys.
Probably the sexiest American game of the week.
I'm glad you think so. I think you're right. And I tell you this every time this happens. This is a major divide in my house. Because my wife's a lifetime 49ers fan. I'm a lifetime Cowboys fan. On top of that, we're playing each other in fantasy football at her works league. So I'm really getting two fingers this week. It's 4 points, Jess. I see some 3.5s. Let's keep it at 4. I'm already getting my pessimistic tone ready, Jess. Who you got?
I think that this is a very evenly matched football game. I think that both quarterbacks are very good quarterbacks. And I think that they're very good quarterbacks for each franchise. Like, I don't think that Purdy could be doing the same things in Dallas as he is in San Francisco. And I'm not sure if Dak would do the same things in San Francisco as he is doing in Dallas. If that makes any sense to people listening, it makes sense to me. Dak is diehard Dallas. And Brock Purdy is just a great story. Like, who doesn't love great sports stories? Purdy's a great sports story. Both quarterbacks, I think, even each other out. Jay, you're probably going to disagree with that, but I think at this point in time, I think that they even each other out. The defenses, they even each other out. I think that both defenses are 1 and 2, and you can flip-flop them wherever you want, whoever you are, wherever you're at. The defenses could be 1 defense could be 2. Vice versa next week or whatever. So I think that they even each other out. I think where we go crazy is the offense. And being at home, I think this gives San Francisco a bit of an edge, is why I'm also leaning San Francisco. But I don't necessarily like the points. I'm going to take the Niners at home. I think C-Mac is just on another level right now. That guy is – he's balling crazy hard. He's going nuts. He scored 4 touchdowns last week. He's out there killing people. I think he leads the NFL in rushing by over 100 yards to the next guy, number 2 guy. And I think that Debo and Brandon Ayuk is just – both those guys complement Purdy so well. And, yes, this Dallas defense is going to get to Purdy. But without Trevon Diggs, I don't see where the takeaways are going to come from. And that's what's going to hurt Dallas in this game, is not having that takeaway corner. You have to have a takeaway corner to take away the ball from all these explosive units that play for San Francisco. And both offensive lines are hogs, so it's going to be tough to get to either quarterback. But we saw Purdy get got to last year against Philly, right? Well, I think that Dallas is going to get to him here and there. The thing that San Francisco is going to have an edge on is they have some takeaway guys. And again, I'm going to home field advantage. I think that Purdy's playing really outstanding football right now. The offense is going to get these chances. I think where the ball game looms on is, can the Dallas Cowboys stop Christian McCaffrey or not?
Yep.
That's going to be the issue. I'm leaning no. and I'm going San Francisco. I'll take the points only because it's four. If it was like seven, I would not. 4 points, I think, is doable because it's still going to be a close football game. Something like 28-24 San Francisco, something along those lines. But I'm sorry to break your heart, brother, but I'm going to go San Fran.
I think it's fair. I don't think there's going to be a lot of games used to be picking against Dallas, but this will be one of them. I think the keys to Dallas winning are very simple. They've got to win the turnover matchup, and they've got to keep CMC under 150 yards of total offense. If they can figure out a way to do those two things, if they do those two things and lose, it's going to be some weird, like, special teams play decided the game. You know, some weird, you know, kooky type of thing happened where it's like, damn, it was a close game, and this was the ultimate decider. You know, fuck blocked field goal or some shit like that. I like the Niners. I think Dallas covers. I feel like this is a 3-point game either way. I would be a lot more shocked if Dallas blew out San Francisco as opposed to if San Francisco blew Dallas out. And maybe that's because we've already seen the, you know, Dallas get blown out, and we have not seen the Niners really struggle much. I think this is an incredible measuring stick for San Francisco. I think we're really going to see where they're at. I think they've played, I don't want to see cream puffs, but they've played some teams that just are not great. I don't think they've played any teams that people would look at and go like, oh, those teams will challenge for a championship. Arizona ain't it. The Rams ain't it. The Giants ain't it. I'm leaning San Francisco. I like the Cowboys and the points. I also think if the Cowboys are going to win this game, Dak has to make some plays. Doesn't have to make all the plays, but there's got to be, and this might even be a high number, 5 or 6 throws where you just go, those are the differences. Those move the chains. Those 30, 40-yard gains, damn, he hit that one big bomb to CD, and that was the difference. He's got to have 5 or 6 of those. I think the Cowboys are going to have a lot of problems running the ball against that front seven. That front seven is wicked. And if anything, it's going to be Dak's able to dink and dunk, move the chains, and then maybe there's 3 or 4 of those plays that are just absolute game breakers where it's like, you know, CD caught one, you know, and he took it 40 yards, you know, the yak, if you will. It's got to be something like that. But I like the Niners. I just think they're rolling on all cylinders right now. And to piggyback off of your take, I think that they're just a hair better in a lot of those key positions. I don't know if I would agree with Brock being better than Dak, but I think you can just say, well, he's got the number one QBR through 5 games. So that's where Brock's at. Like, he's not turning the ball over, and he's making all the right throws. He may not have that 400-yard game. He may not have that 5-touchdown game. He may not have those Tua numbers, but he's really, really, really good right now. He's like a starting pitcher that gives you 8 innings and 4 strikeouts, and it's just enough where you go, yeah, we won that game 2-0. He's just that good.
He's Tom Glavine for the Atlanta Braves back in 95. Yeah,
but I think even that's a bad comparison because Tom Glavine was a dominant motherfucker. And Tom, he's a Hall of Famer. Like, you got to find, like, a, you know what I'm
Look,
saying? Like,
here's my thing with Purdy is, you know, we've used this, like, Trent Dilfer thing, right? Back in, like, what was it, like, 2012 or something, like when the Baltimore Ravens won that Super Bowl, right? Like, Trent Dilfer is not a great quarterback. Joe Flacco was not a great quarterback, but they had this fantastic defense that just, they caused turnovers and such a ruckus when they played offenses that Flacco and Dilfer both, you know, when they won their Super Bowls, did not have to play fantastic quarterback. You know, they didn't have to have 400 or 500 yard games. They didn't have to.
You're just doing two things. You're moving the chains. You're not turning the ball over.
1,000%. And that's what Purdy's doing. Last week, after the Niners won and all these other teams won, Stephen A. Smith, he's wild. So I don't take a lot of things.
You're gonna preference this take by stating that Stephen A. Smith is
Stephen A. is wild. Okay, he has some takes.
That's wild.
He's his own entity. He's his own, you know, brand. So he's got to be wild. He had actually said Brock Purdy should be the front runner for MVP. And I think that that's a wild fucking take because I get it. His numbers are pretty. They're solid. They're not fantastic. His QBR is good. But, you know, do real sport pundits really take a lot in the QBR? You know, somewhat. Some do, the some don't. Do.
Well, Jess, let me ask you this. Right now, the next 5 years, would you want Brock Purdy or would you want C.J. Stroud?
I want Stroud.
Yeah, that's my point. He's, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Purdy's bad.
Purdy is
he's
not
just
bad.
In the perfect situation.
1,000%.
He's on a perfect team, in a perfect scenario. Where again, I was saying this all last year. If you remember, he's gonna have that bad game. He's gonna have that bad game. He's gonna have that 3-interception game. He's gonna have that fucking 140 yards.
And then he had an interception.
Fucking in it, yeah. No, he got hurt. He got knocked out. Like, he didn't get a chance to have a shit game because he got knocked out. But I think that I think that at some point you gotta have that game. Now maybe he is so fucking disciplined, and his IQ is so fucking high. His football IQ is so high that he just that doesn't happen. And maybe he is again so well disciplined and so well coached. He's just like a robot, and he's just like, no, I'm not going to fucking make that mistake. I'm not going to make that, and I'm always going to make the best play. I just think at some point your quarterback's going to be put in that position where he's going to try and extend a play, and it ain't going to happen. He's going to try and make that window throw, and it ain't going to be in the window.
And that's where the Niners have to be careful.
Everybody does. We're doing it with Mahomes now where we're like, damn, is Mahomes throwing bad balls or is it just his receivers suck? Depending on the play, might be Mahomes threw a bad ball, might be that receiver sucks.
If you're Chris Collinsworth, Patrick Mahomes has never thrown a bad ball. So
that's what I'm saying. It's just the receivers. And he's going to tell you the receivers always suck. It ain't him. All right, Jess, hit the fucking wrap it up.
This week in the NFL, it's still got a load of good, solid football to be played. And as we're finding out, and Jay and I were talking about at the beginning, half the league ain't going nowhere right now, okay? So
Jesse,
please? What?
I'm going to cut you off. Please name this show. Can you name – how many NHL teams can you name?
That's the name of the show.
That's the name of the show. Thank you.
The league is where it's at, is where you got 5 to 8 teams that are solid playoff contenders right now. Cut that in half for the amount of teams that have a chance to get to the Super Bowl. That's where we're at already. We're in week 5. And I don't think that I don't even think I'm overevaluating that. I think that I'm pretty much on track. I think I'm on track with that.
I think 8 is tough. I think there's probably 10 or 12 teams. But it's super early in the year. And I think next week we will reevaluate that.
But as for now, this show went very well. I love talking football. I wish that there was more mixed martial arts or combat sports in general to talk about, but there's just not.
Canelo is who Canelo is.
I don't think that in anybody's mind people thought Canelo was going to lose that fight. Canelo dominated in that fight. He'll probably dominate in his next few fights. Unless he fights Crawford, and that's a big if because there's a weight disparity, right?
Yeah, it's an enormous disparity. So, Crawford would have to go up like 15, 20.
So that's just stuff that great fighters don't like to do. They don't like to put themselves in that type of situation. So combat sports was a little off the radar this week. Maybe it'll come back next week. We'll talk maybe a little bit about what happened to Bellator 300. But yeah, then again, it is just Bellator. NFL fans, hope you like the show. Hockey fans, hell, hope you like that. That was a good question right off the bat.
Fun shit.
Shout out to Justin Von Doom. Good things going for his franchise. They at least have a franchise quarterback. Chris W. Power. Chris, we love you, but Justin Fields ain't in. I think you'll agree heavily with us. At Smash Squad MMA, thank you for all the shout outs. Thank you for all the interaction you have with us on our personal accounts as well as the Twitter account. Speaking of that, please follow Jason at Valdez, spelled backwards, 559. You can follow myself at JTT81. And you can follow the podcast at Team Toss 21. And as always, follow Variety Sports Network. They pump us up a little bit here and there. Thank you, guys. We appreciate you. Fat Boy Fadeaway Sports, thank you, guys. There's so many other sports shows that they have, podcasts out there, that are actually pretty solid shows that I really like. Variety Sports.
I agree.
Variety _ sports _ on Twitter. That's it for me, folks. Enjoy the rest of your week. It's supposed to be beautiful before the true fall spirit hits, and then everything goes gray and rainy.
He's gone.